Also, this story is part of me, is part of my generation. I would want to know. I would want to know the next generation also to know about it. So if I don't do something with the skill that I have, with the connection that I have, then who else will do that?
Welcome to a new episode of the podcast Decolonial Memories. I am Thomas Fuß. Today I talk to Imani Nsamila, a photographer and visual artist from Tanzania. Today I'm honored and delighted to have with me Imani Nsamila as a guest. Thank you, dear Imani, for joining me in this conversation.
Thank you so much, Thomas, for inviting me. And for your willingness to hear my opinions, my story, and yeah, so I'm excited actually to talk to you today. And as you may know, I'm a photographer and filmmaker, so I usually interview people when I'm doing my stories, but today is my turn, so
yes, and thank you for
I hope I'll make it
being ready for the challenge. Role switch for the challenge.
Challenge accepted.
So where did you grow up, Imani?
I grew up in Tanzania. I was born in the western Tanzania, Kigoma, but then we moved to Dar es Salaam with my parents. So I grew up, I spent almost all my childhood, and actually even now, like almost the entire life, I've been living in Dar es Salaam, except only maybe a few times where I travel for some time, maybe for work or for school or for training. But yeah, I grew up in Dar es Salaam, but born in Kigoma, yeah.
So what were your educational experiences that you went through?
So I went from my primary up to secondary school in Dar es Salaam, and then I moved to Arusha for some time for my film production studies. After that, I went back to Dar es Salaam to start my journey as a filmmaker and photographer. And yeah, so that's the journey that I took in my professional career, and yeah.
So today you work as a freelance photographer.
Yeah, so to date I work as a, I would say I'm not, you know, most of what I do is photography, but I would say I'm a photographer, filmmaker, educator, and visual storyteller. I use visuals to tell stories. To educate, I use my work to educate people. You have seen some of my work around climate change, around colonial legacy. So my feeling is I think I'm beyond just a photographer. Yes, but I use photography as one of the medium to, you know, to showcase what I have in me or what is in me, yeah.
When did you first learn about German colonialism in your country?
First, I learned about German colonial history through my parents and people close to me when I was growing up.
What sort of stories were they telling about the German rule?
Yeah, you know, because it used to come spontaneously. It was not like say today we sit and talk about this stuff, you know, like maybe you may be talking to your mother or father, and then they use Germany colonial era as a reference to tell you about something, or maybe something, maybe we see something on TV and then they say, this during colonial era they used to do this and this and this, you know. So this is the time that I started knowing about what happened when I was not born. But beyond family, and people close to me, also school, we have specific topic, subject about history, and colonial is one of the topic that everyone learn. So most of the Tanzanians, whatever, if you have been to school, then you have, you, in one way or another, these are the topic that you learn, either you're in primary school or you are secondary school student. Because from, it's a mandatory actually to learn history when you are between, primary school, and also when you get to secondary school, from when you are from one and from two, it's a mandatory that history is part of the subject that every student should learn. Yeah.
So when you heard about German colonialism, let's say in your family, through your parents, what could you give us some examples of how did they talk about the Germans or the violence of the colonial experience?
Yeah, actually they talk almost about everything that happened, positive and negative ones.
Yeah, can you give examples? What exactly did they refer
that,
to?
One thing that I heard from my father is, from my family I would say, is about the people who built this railway, that some of them died during this
to Kigoma.
Some of them were eaten with wild animals. They were beaten during the, you know, like they used to beat them a lot. So these are the kind of stories that I heard from my... So basically, also the story that I heard is about these colonial masters. They were a bit, not a bit, they were heartless, I would say. Like the treatment they gave to people was not that good. So these are the kind of stories that I heard when I was growing up.
Were there also some positive references to the Germans? What they, you know, how people see what they brought to the country, or was it only the negative experience?
There is some positive, you know, sometimes for someone to share with you negative and positivity about it, also it depends on their own experience at a family level, what they experience, you know. You know, some people, they experience, like their experience is terrible. To some people, maybe it was not that terrible, especially to those who used to work for these colonial masters because they had access. So, but the positivity, maybe you'll hear from people, is a school that they built, schools, healthy facilities, and all that. So these are the kind of the positive stuff that people will talk, even the railway actually. Like apart from people who died when they were building it, but also it somehow facilitated, up to date actually, it's facilitating movement from Dar es Salaam up to Kigoma, transporting all goods, connecting Tanzania to neighbor countries, let's say Congo, Burundi. So these are the kind of, so and sometimes it depends on the mood of someone, you know. If they're in a bad mood or feeling, so they talk about negativity. But maybe sometimes it depends on the mood and the experience they have had as a family or as a people. And also, because all this, most of the story that we get it from people. And you know, our storytelling skills are different. There are people who can really make you feel something, and there are people who are not very good storytellers. So if you happen to work or to learn from the people who know how to tell a story, they will make you feel and understand this, how bad this problem was.
And how about the Christian missionaries? You know, there were a lot of Protestant but also Catholic missionaries in Tanzania and East Africa at that time. How do people talk about the work that they left behind?
Yeah, actually, yes, it's one among of the things that they left behind, like churches. Of course, some people up to date, they are positive about the mission schools, actually, and believe that they produced a very high level. And I mean, the quality of education they provided was amazing, and compare even, like sometimes people go ahead and further and even compare the current education level that most of the graduates have and the education during the colonial era. Like some elders, they believe that the education during colonial era was the best compared to the one that people like the new generation is having now. So yeah, so these are also, it's one of the colonial legacy and mark that Germany and Britain left behind is through these churches, schools, hospitals, names of the places. You know, there are some names also, even words, that a number of words that we have in our language, Swahili, we have a number of.
Can you see some examples that
the German one?
German, yes.
Like say Stuhl is Stuhl in Tanzania. It means okay. The same.
Yeah.
Schule, school, the same. And also Hela, Mane.
Okay. Geld. Yes, so yes.
For the we money. Say Hela. Uh-huh. So we have a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a number of Germany words in our language. It's also a sign of the what they left behind.
Yeah. And did your perception and understanding of German colonialism change over time or through coming to Germany, for example? Do you look at it differently now than when you were, let's say, 15 or 18 years old?
Yes, I think coming to Germany have also changed how I see Germany, because there are some things I have come to realize that I've been here when I was in Tanzania. It's not about colonial, it's how they are.
Can you give examples?
That, let's say, Germans are very strict. And this is one of the stereotypes that people have in Tanzania, that even if you're a parent, let's say I'll take an example. Maybe I'm talking to my friends, and then we want to refer one of our friends' parent is very strict. We would say your father or your mother is very German, as a leaflet that Germany are very strict. So coming here, I have learned, of course, maybe during that era it was bad, but I've come to realize this is how they are as Germans. So there are some stuff that I used to know, or people used to tell me before visiting Germany, that somehow they've proved me wrong, that they don't, it is not only for you as Tanzanian, it's forever. This is how they are for everyone, you know? And yeah, so these are the kind of things, and time management also. You know, like here, I've been to a number of European countries, but I think if there are people who really care about time and Germans, so yeah.
So that reinforces your the image that the stereotypes that people talk about.
Yeah, the people
Germans
talk about,
and
yeah.
You found them. They're still valid today.
They're still valid today, and it's not about the colonial. It's how who they are, you know, and also expressing themselves. Here is. I think in my culture, at some point, we have a way of saying polite no. Like maybe I don't want something, but I'm finding a way to say no. A polite, it's a no, but a polite one. But see, here, like in Germany, it's just a one sentence, no. Nope.
Yeah, and I don't have to explain. Very direct. Yeah.
So, you know, to a person like me, sometimes I find it hard to take it, you know, when they are very strict and direct, like, you know, I don't want this, I want this, you know, I don't want to talk now, please go, I want to work, you know, this kind of thing. In my culture, we don't do that. Like, you cannot have a guest and then tell, yeah, you know, so I want to work, please go, you know, but here it's normal. Or maybe if someone is not expecting you as a guest, even though they know you, but then they may not let you get inside.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. This happens. And Imani,
So you know what you mean?
That no, means. I know what you're talking about. So yes. you understand German minds and psyche very well.
So is that who you are also? Yeah. Do you know that?
Well, yes, in a way I fit the stereotype.
You fit the stereotype.
Let's get to your interest of colonial past and the meaning of colonial continuities today. What makes you interested in this issue at all? You could just turn to other topics or look at the wonderful nature and the animals in Tanzania, but why are you drawn to address the colonial legacies in your country?
First of all, I think there's a need, you know, like one of my responsibility as a visual storyteller, photographer or filmmaker is to preserve this history for the next generation. So that's why I think there's a need for me to be part of it. And another thing is also I'm a curious person. I'm a person who want to know things, what happened. What, because one thing that also make a photographer or filmmaker relevant is the information you have. Because there's no way you can produce film that makes sense if you are not informed, if you don't know topics that you are getting into. So yes, as a person, it's because also this story is part of me, is part of my generation. I would want to know. I would want to know my the next generation also to know about it. So if I don't do something with the skill that I have, with the connection that I have, then who else will do that? So I have to be part of it. It's part of me, you know. So you cannot take away this part of history to me as a Tanzanian, you know. Yeah. So that's why I want to be part of. That's why I want to be part of it. It's because of that.
So in the next section, we'll go a little bit further into the present discourses and talks in Tanzania about German colonialism. Mm. Let's turn to the physical traces of German colonialism. You already mentioned the railroad. What are other, let's say, material evidence of the German past in your country?
Yeah, there is a material evidence regarding the Germany past and the colonial in general. First, we have buildings, a number of buildings that were built during the colonial era, infrastructure. We have the oldest ship in Kigoma, Lake Tanganyika, it's called MV Liemba. But that ship came as a military ship during the German colonial era. So these are the evidence that the colonial era was there and people experienced it. Yeah, so these are the few schools. Of course, we have schools. Yes.
Let's focus on the buildings, the architecture from the colonial times. Let's say the bomas that are in many bomas. Towns or villages. Mm. What do people think of that? Do they think it should be preserved? Should it be put to some use? Or what kind of significance do they attach to the historical meaning or background of these buildings?
I think there are mixed feelings about it. There are people who think it should be preserved as it is now, and there are people think it should be preserved but still in use. Let's say I'll give you an example of the Bagamoyo Boma. And also this depend on the background of the person, the experience they have in life and how they see the world and the exposure also. Because there are people feel like, okay, Boma is here, people come here like tourists and people come here to learn about what happened, about the history. But why can't we have maybe a restaurant inside where people can sit, maybe drink coffee, eat something, you know, pay to get access to it and see. Yeah, and there are people feel like, no, it should be remained as it is. No one wants those history anymore. No one wants to be part of that. But at least just leave it there. People will just see it from far, maybe get in, but nothing should go on. So this normally depends. So there are mixed ideas and feelings about it. Yeah.
So at the local level, or let's say in some communities, do you have examples where the communities will have specific spaces of memory where they have a tradition where they can remember about their specific experiences with German rule?
I'm not so sure if there are like a specific place where people go and remember, but having these things around you, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of what happened. And these also spark discussion. If I visit Bagamoyo, maybe with my friend or whoever, maybe kids or, you know, uncles, like a little one, they'll ask me a question, what is it? What happened? And then it's a place where you can, you know, use and to transform the knowledge and history, what happened. So yeah, I would say still people use it as a space to remember and reflect on what happened, you know, educate and also transfer this history to other generation. Yeah, so still people use it because they are there. Like if you live there, you see them. Anyhow, and some of them, they still have that colonial names. So it's very easier to start a discussion. You know, you may not sometimes, if you are from Tanzania or from Dar es Salaam, because you see these things so more often, so it's become normal. But to others, they say visiting the city, even if they are Tanzanians, if you say, okay, let's meet at Old Boma, then they'll ask, why is it called Old Boma? Then you have to explain, so this is Old Boma because 1, 2, 3, and 4, what happened, what the story, why is it still there? You know, so this kind of the things.
What's the position of the government, of the state, towards these spaces of memory, let's call them? Is there an active policy where they would want to make the information visible and accessible to people? Do they work on having to create and generate a better understanding of German colonialism in the country?
I'm not so sure about the status now, like what the government is doing with the police, but for sure, yes, because since these places are preserved, they belong to, let's say some, they belong to the Minister of Tourism and, you know, Minister of Natural Resources and Tourism. That means all the stories, all the history is kept and preserved for the next generation. So yes, the government is playing its part. Of course, as a citizen or as a Tanzanian, I would wish to see more beyond that. But so far, yes, the government is playing part into preserving this place. Because if it was not about the government preserving these places, maybe they'll not be there anymore for now. Like maybe they'll change the uses of the lands and all that. Yeah.
Would you think there's a policy to also protect the cultural heritage linked to German colonialism for the promotion of tourism? Is that an angle that the government might want to take on this?
If you are interested into history, tourism, yeah, there is a lot of preserved history around colonial history, you know, the Germany physical mark they left, tracing and all that. So yes, they left, as a government, they have preserved it. If you visit the National Museum, there's stuff there. You know, all these old buildings in Dar es Salaam and other places, they are there. Also, some of them, most of them actually, you can find even information online through Tanzania and Ministry of Tourism website and other platforms. They have these information, like at least you have the brief information about each place. As long as it's identified and preserved, there is information for it. Maybe not that deep information, but there is at least information where you can start with.
Are you aware of tour operators that, let's say, if I as a German tourist want to travel to Tanzania and get a specific exposure to encountering German colonialism, are there tour operators that offer these kind of
There is tour operators offer these kind of trips, and I personally do that, but my focus is more into people who want to document, because I'm a filmmaker with my background of film photography, so it's also something that I do, like people who want to document, whether you're a photographer, you're a content creator, a journalist, you want to, you know, or filmmaker, you want to produce. So because when you travel as someone who want to document, sometimes it's a bit different compared to, you know, general tourist, but it's almost same, like as a tourist, almost most of things are same. But if you are coming as a filmmaker, maybe there's a lot of there's a number of stuff that we have to do before you arrive, and even during your stay, you know, all these permits, organizing, knowing where to shoot, organizing crew and all that. So it's also something that I'm doing, as a person, but also there are more tour operators who are organizing these historical tours, expeditions. I have a friend who did a tour some years ago. They walked from Kigoma to Dar es Salaam, tracing where the German
Old caravan routes.
Yeah, the old caravan routes. So they started from Kigoma. Yeah. So for them, they were interested in, of course, the history, but also the slave trade.
Yeah.
So they did both history and slave trade tracing. So from Kigoma to Bagamoyo. Yes.
Turning to this issue of the enslavement trade, which of course was at that time very much handled through the Arabs in your country. Is there discussion talking about the role of Arab rulers or the Sultan from Oman in the enslavement trade?
Yeah, there is a discussion also, because as we did with the German colonial era, let's say when we were students, it's the same. We learn about it at school, they teach us about it. So if you have, if you have gone through the formal education system in Tanzania, then you know about all this stuff, about the slave trade, Germany, colonial era, empire, all this stuff. Yes. And some of the place, let's say Bagamoyo, if you go, so you'll trace stuff which started during the slave trade, and then you see the German. So, and sometimes you find them in one place. So this also tells the time difference. You know, maybe this was even the building, how it looks like, you know, the one that were the building which built during the slave trade looks more old than the one that German built, especially the bomber in Bagamoyo.
Let's talk about the ancestral remains, the human remains that the Germans translocated, they looted and they took it to Germany, but also the cultural belongings. Is there a talk in Tanzania society about restitution, getting it back, the repatriation of the ancestral remains, and the whole issue of reparations? What are the things that you can hear from voices of Tanzania civil society, let's say?
There is discussion about that. But unfortunately, I would say it's a very small group of people who are talking about it. it's not the topic in the mainstream discussion. Like, you rarely hear people talk about it, let's say, in these traditional medias. So one thing that I would like to see maybe in the future is to have this kind of conversation in the mainstream discussion, you know. So now I'll say there's like a very small group of people who are very active pushing for this. So,
and what kind of people are they? From academia, from the universities,
from
or activist
academia,
group?
Activists, like also civil society. But I think civil society, academia, and activists are more into this, you know.
How about the certain communities where they would community would say something needs to happen in this area?
Yeah, let's say the very active, like a community, maybe more it's in Songea, Kilimanjaro. These are the very active community, like people who are from those, at least actively talk about these issues. That's according to this is based on the knowledge that I have so far, that we have people talk about it. But if I compare how many, like the number of, like we are above 60 million Tanzanians, but I don't think we have even 1 million people talk about it. No, we are not there yet. So we need more people to talk about it. We need to make it a more of a national discussion, I would say, because there are some things I think we as a citizen have to push, and then others will pick it from there, you know.
Your government has set up a national restitution committee now.
Yes.
Is that discussed or reported on in the media? Are people aware of it?
I don't think people are aware of it, but this news, I hear about it when they were about to start this committee, especially, if I'm not mistaken, either after the German president visit to Tanzania or before. But during that time is where this discussion came to life more, like around people, because also for the German president to do the public apology.
It was in November 2023.
And then yes. This made news. And then people were like, what was the apology about? And then, of course, people became more interested into finding more information about it. So, and this committee, if I'm not mistaken, this is the time where Minister of Foreign Affairs also mentioned that as a country, they're going to have like a committee. And I'm happy now we have this committee, because there's no way we will succeed alone, like as a civil society, you know, activists. We need also, our government to back us up. So this committee, this committee will actually help us to go further, because they also have access compared to us. We don't have access that they have, you know. They have access to both party, Tanzania and the German party, because for us to achieve or to reach where we want to reach our goal, we need this with both party to come to agreement. Yeah.
In the third part, we'll turn to your collaboration with German organizations.
Yes.
You have been quite active in Germany. Please tell us some of your collaborative work. Why have you come? When have you come to Germany? What are you doing with German organizations here? In which cities?
My first time I visited Germany was 2018, if I'm not mistaken. My brother used to live in Chemnitz as a student, so I visited him there. And then after that, 2019, I was part of the exchange program where a number of social workers from Tanzania I traveled to Germany to do an exchange program with the people who, like social worker, Hamburg-based social workers. So that trip got me got me in touch with a number of Germans and especially like-minded people that I met. So from that trip, I managed to establish very meaningful a partnership, friendship, and then I started doing we started doing a project. And as you may know, Dar es Salaam and Hamburg, they have city like they are sister cities. There's a partnership between these two cities. And one thing that I really love about this partnership, it's how they've managed to make this partnership of more people-to-people partnership, not only at a high level and official level. There is things that only these two governments are doing, but also there are stuff that going on between people.
Can you give examples? Who is involved there actually?
The
people-to-people contact. Who are these people at the Hamburg side, at the Dar es Salaam side?
So because one of the idea is if you have idea of a project and you want to do it using this city partnership, if you are from Dar es Salaam, you have to find a partner in Hamburg. And if someone from Hamburg wants to do a project in Tanzania through this partnership, they have to find a partner in Dar es Salaam. You cannot just do a project only one side.
Please
project.
Give some examples of an what sort of collaboration is happening now.
An example is like one of the projects that I have done. Back 2019, I visited Hamburg. There's a program called AFPEL where they give opportunity to people from developing countries to come to Germany, learn, and get more skills on what they're doing. So one thing that we did is I came here, collaborated with German-based photographer, and we also had someone organizing for us. His name is Gottfried Eich. So we did. I was teaching actually student from schools here about photography, and then we had like a one.
From where was it? Tanzanians?
No, in Hamburg.
In Hamburg, you taught in Hamburg.
Williamsburg.
Ah, Williamsburg. Okay.
Williamsburg. So we went there and we trained these students, and then we gave them a theme, and the theme was water connect the people of the world. So for them, they went out and take picture. What does it mean to them? And then again, we went to Tanzania. We did the same project, train students, and then give the same theme. And then they did photos. And then we exhibited this photo. Like, this is what Tanzanian students produce, and this is what German-based students produce. But then after that, we went further. We had a donation, like I used the camera from our friends and people that we knew, that we had like a donation of the camera that were part of this training. And then so I asked if I can keep the camera so that I can keep on teaching other people who are in need. Then we came up with the idea of doing a. It was initially like my idea, but you know, since we were a team, then everyone also contributed his own idea. Then we came up with this idea, so-called Female Photographers Program, where we train upcoming female photographers in Tanzania. And most of these photographers, maybe some of them are dropouts, some of them are teen mothers, but not all of them, but there's a mix of mixed background within them. So we have been doing that for the past 5 years. We have managed to reach around 120 girls together in partnership with an organization called Ladies Joint. So as I told you, it's a people-to-people connection. So this, by doing this, we have our partner or someone who was supporting us from Hamburg side that's Godfrey name that I mentioned. So this wouldn't be possible for us to do alone if we don't have someone from Hamburg. And the good thing is this year, Dar es Salaam and Hamburg have celebrated 15 years anniversary of this partnership. And three of the girls that we trained through this female photographers program were funded to travel and cover the event with me in Hamburg. And they were awarded in front of the mayor representative at the Rathaus in Hamburg. So it was quite also emotional moment to me. Like, you know, this all this came as an idea 5 years ago. And then that day we are there, everyone is clapping for them, everyone is happy. So this is just an example, but also there's project on the health sector, project on the women empowerment project, so there's sports also, but also there's, you know, partnership between all both cities. There's a number of projects that have been happening between these two.
Sounds really impressive. Yeah. You also have been involved in Cologne. Could you say something about a photo exhibition you did there?
Yes. So in Cologne, I have visited Cologne a number of times. And in Cologne, I visited more to exhibit my work around climate change, also sometimes to give like a talk regarding on what I do. So I would say in Germany, I'm strongly connected in Hamburg, Cologne, and Berlin. Number one is Hamburg. Like the very, I'm very, very strong, and I'm partnering with a number of Germans who are based in Hamburg. Yes.
In general, what is your impression on how Germans that you meet, how do they deal or address the colonial past? What are your impressions?
I think one thing that I've noticed is most of the people that I've met, they accept actually. You know, they cannot run away from this history. But, and they really want to do something, you know, regarding, you know, they feel responsible for the bad thing that the grandfather did to Tanzania, because somehow this act have contributed to maybe where we are now as a country and people. So that's why there are people, even some of the people maybe I partner with sometime or I talk with, or maybe some people who support my work, they support because they feel that inside them that they just want to correct the wrongs that were done with their grandfathers and mothers.
And so for you, that's a genuine attitude, genuine effort.
Genuine attitude. And you know, sometimes you can easily tell if you talk to someone who really mean something.
How would you tell? How do you notice the difference?
You know, they say if you're talking to someone and looking at their eyes, you know, at some point, maybe I'm not 100% correct, but at some point, I can tell if someone is doing something like they really mean what they do, what they want to do. You know, the commitment level also tells a lot. Like the commitment they have into making changes, positive changes. You know, so I think also this, for me, it's a sign that they really want to, you know, to do something, to correct. Yeah.
Let's assume now you would talk to a German youth who tells you, oh, I'm not really so interested. This old stuff, why do we need to address it? Let's just look ahead into the future. How would you respond? Or how would you try? Or would you try to convince this youth that it's worthwhile and it is good and important for this person to address colonial past?
You know, I think one thing that I would tell the youth is history or what happened in Tanzania or what was done by the Germans in Tanzania. does not end at the Tanzania borders. It cut across. There are some stuff with my feeling that people are experiencing here. It's also it was like started because of the colonial. So all these things that we see now, let's say, that's my own feeling actually. Migration, you know, racism and all that. If you go deeper, you know, it's narrative that have been passed through generation. Because when you are born as a kid, you are very innocent. It's like an empty computer. You are the one to install application. Okay, I want Microsoft to this in this computer, or I don't want. I want a video game, or I don't want. So what they know or what they have in their mind, the narrative they have in their mind, is what they've been, it was installed whether with their own parents or with the system or with the narrative. So, but this does not end just there. You know, it does not end just there. So this is something that I would like to really discuss with the young one, that there's a lot of things that they see, they complain, or, you know, they don't really know the deep roots. And if you don't know this, you'll always, you know, because our behavior or how we treat people is also influenced with the information that you have. If you are not informed, it's like a chop, like they say, when you chop the chicken head, they just go around, but they don't know where they are because they cannot see. So it's like that one, that you complain for things that you don't know the history. Whatever you see, because of you have been installed all these negative narrative things that you consume. Yes, so that's, I don't know if it's you understand, but that's actually something that I would think I would like to discuss or to share with the young Germans. Yes.
Yes. Let's hope we can create some of these opportunities, huh? Yeah. So in the final part, we'll look ahead and see what ideas you have for the future collaboration between Germany and Tanzania. Looking ahead, what are some ideas how civil societies of Tanzania and Germany could collaborate in the future to deepen the understanding of the entangled past, but also work for a better future together?
I think there's a multiple things that these two parties may do. But for me, because I'll just talk about my profession, I think I would like to see more of a media involvement in this, because media will help us to reach wide audience and also to gain interest of people in both parties. So we need media. We need to use visual storytelling, because most of the things that we talk already happened. The easiest way to make someone who lives in let's say in Bremen know about this, the easiest way is visual storytelling. It's via photograph, video, articles, social media. Same in Tanzania. We want to have more people engaging in this topic. How do we make them interest? It's by also using media. Also exchange program. So it can be professional exchange program, civil society, but also exchange program of this. Also, media professionals, they don't know about this topic. How do they report about this? Because sometimes maybe as a reporter or as a visual storyteller, you may be reporting something with a very genuine interest, but maybe choice of word, lack of information, you still, apart from supporting or helping, you're actually destroying more because of what you are reporting. finding a balance, actually even knowing right question to ask and who, you know, to ask. So I would like to see more of these kind of things, like partnership happening, especially with media, visuals to, like, with what I do. Like,
yeah, like you have some ideas of your own. Can you give us a glimpse of how you would go about it to do a visual project of this sort?
Of course, first of all, is to document the untold story around the, you know, like, story that have been maybe, because many people who are involved in this topic, maybe they know about Maji Maji, about Mkwawa, you know, about Old Bomas, but there's a lot of untold stories because the history, well, you know, like, we keep on writing history. It's not like you write history today and then you're done. You keep on writing it. So I would like to produce actually a number of stories around this, whether it's a book, traveling exhibition, but also exchange of professionals, photographer, because we need to have more visual storyteller into this topic with interest. We have a lot of architecture photographers in Tanzania, but they are not interested into documenting old buildings. Sometimes they document this building in a more of a, it's a cool thing, you know, like, look at this building, it's nice, very old style, but they don't know the story. They don't tell the story behind those buildings. So for us to be able to have, to get these young ones' interest, is to go where they are. They are in social media now, they are in TikTok. How do you get them interested? Is by making story that will attract and or capture their attention, you know. So I would like to, personally, I really wish to organize this kind of youth exchange, especially who are into content creation. Like, okay, this is the topic. We train you, we make you understand the history, what happened, and then use your own style and, you know, and being young, make a story around it, make it interested that people will watch. Maybe we are out of, because somehow when you, you know, these things also go with generation. Maybe if it's not your generation, sometimes maybe you miss some few points where, which are very important to capture attention, because we need these people, this young one with energy, the one who can help us to push this agenda for now and for the future. So yeah, these are the kind of things that I would like to do as a person, and also to see them, happening. And whenever there's this kind of events, you know, talks, also to give opportunity to people like me who are doing documentation. You know, let's say if it's an event, let's say a conference, if you have a mini exhibition there, and then you have people go through the exhibition before the event, it's really sparkle, you know, and, you know, sparkle discussion before even the event starts. So you get, you know, you get to get inside people before even discussion have started, you know. Yeah.
What would you expect of the German government to do to facilitate this kind of collaborative work, or to work on restitution and repatriation of ancestral remains? What could German government do?
I think, first of all, German government is responsible in one way or another for what has happened. So what, first of all, they should listen to us, you know, on how we want to handle this issue, because we are the victims. We are the one who have, you know, have living with this trauma, with this history. So I think the best way is also to listen to us on how we want to handle this matter.
Well, that's a very strong point.
Yeah.
Is there, before we close, is there another idea or thought that you want to express at the end of this conversation?
No, I think I'm fine. I've tried my best to answer the best I can. It's not something that I do quite often, as I told you. Most of the time, I'm, you know, like I ask people, I make stories for other people, but today was my turn. So I'm out of words for now. Thank you for this opportunity, and let's keep doing it. Let's keep pushing, and I hope we get more people involved in this matter. And the good thing is, I would say we also need people who are somehow against what we are doing, maybe critical with what we're doing, because they actually make us think and, you know, answer whenever they have scares, tough questions. They actually help us to have more strong point on what, on why we want these things to, these things to see what we want to see, you know, like, so we need everyone, you know, we need people to challenge our ideas, to challenge our thought, so that we have become more stronger on pushing for this agenda.
Well, thank you. This is a very powerful statement, Imani. As you know, we have somewhat a shift to the right in German society. So in a way, the criticism or the questioning of why we would address colonial legacies at all are increasing in Germany, and I fully agree with you. We need to take this very serious, and enter into these difficult conversations with people that, at least at first sight, do not agree with us, and see how we can work out some common understanding to the extent that that is possible.
Yeah. And you know, a good thing is, one thing that I always say is, as long as there's an avenue for us to talk, then it's good. We don't fight. Let's sit on the table, because all the solutions come from the table, not otherwise. So whether you are support or you are not, but just give the opportunity for people to talk. It's not like blocking also, like people to talk. Just give, and then you decide, you know, like, it's like when there's a war, they will fight, you know, bomb each other, whatever they do. But at the end of the day, the real solution come from where they decide to sit down and talk. So whether you are right or left, the real solution will come from the table. Talk, 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 discuss, challenge each other, explain why, and then we will find a solution.
Yes. Thank you very much, Imani, for this wonderful conversation, exchange of thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Asante sana.